You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Check, one, two, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome to, what episode is this? I don't even know what episode it is. It's somewhere between 800 and, I believe, 800 and 900, or it might be over 900, but all I know is I've done a lot of these episodes, and there are days, especially with the life that I live, with the schedule that I try to keep, and the lunatics that I live with, I feel like I am also becoming a lunatic. This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, hosted by a lunatic, and today's guest is Mr. Bob Polanic. I don't think he's a lunatic. I think he's a good dude, and that's why I have him on. I like his perspective on a lot of things. And today, once again, we are talking about cellular trail camera bands. The one that is a, you know, I'd hate to say it's a sure thing right now, but it sounds to me like cellular trail cameras are not going to be legal when the outcome is aiding in the take of wild game, all right? And so that's in Iowa. I know Kansas has a trail camera cell cam ban. I believe Kentucky has one now. Some of those are on public. Some of those are statewide. So that's what today's conversation is about. We talk about heavily on cell cams, how a ban is going to be enforced, especially on private ground. How, you know, are then cell cams ethical or unethical? How rules and regulations are written around technology? That is what we're talking about today. It's a really good episode. I felt like some valid points were made. We try to play devil's advocate on this show as much as possible. I know I do. I try to encourage the guest or to ask them questions to think of both sides of whatever issue we are discussing. And today is no different. So Bob and I have a really good conversation, and hopefully something comes from it, right? I just received a text message from my contact within the Iowa DNR. They are not available for an entire week yet, so I'm not going to be able to get him interviewed until, I believe, June 11th is when I think he is available. And as soon as I get that interview completed, I'm going to launch it, right? Because there are a lot of people with a lot of questions. And there is still some potential gray areas in these laws that, I mean, here's a question that we talk about in today's episode. What is the determining factor as far as time is concerned? How much time needs to go by in order for you to hunt a piece of ground for deer when a cell camera is on it, right? Is it just a straight no-go? Is it a 24 hours needs to pass? Does 3 hours need to pass? What's the time frame there? And how are they gonna police that if there is a time limit in fact set? So lots of information coming down the pipe today. Dance recital this weekend. baseball game tonight. Next week is the last week of school. I'm going to be running solo for the first, 3 days of the week. My wife is heading on a business trip, so I will have the household to myself. Yes! And I'll tell you what, we're going to have some fun in the Johnson household. While the cat is away, the mice will play. And I don't know what that means. But my wife is leaving, so it's daddy duty, which just means more work with less help. And so shout out to all the single parents out there who are grinding, getting it done. I think there's one day I have to be in 3 places at one time. And so that means that I'm going to have to somehow swindle somebody else into taking one of my kids someplace. And so there's that. That's what I got going on. All right, commercial time. Okay, what's the commercials today? They're the same as they always are, but what are we going to talk about today? Today, we are going to talk about Tethered. If you're looking for a saddle hunting equipment, they even got some new carbon fiber gear that they've been playing around with that is spectacular. You need to go check out tetherednation.com, read up on all of their products, and then also educate yourself on how to use their products. They have a big sale going on right now, so be sure to check out the Tethered social media pages and get that discount code. Next on the list, Wasp Archery, the death metal. Wasp Archery. I believe there was actually a really popular band named Wasp back in maybe the 80s or early 90s. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, that band has nothing on the real Wasp Archery, which is the really high quality broadheads, really high quality design, and in my opinion, some of the best heads and some of the best designs on the market. You ask these guys why they don't come out with a new broadhead every year, their answer is simple: because we don't need to. They're so confident that in their heads and their designs and the materials that they use, that they don't need to come out with a new head every single year, right? Their current products speak for themselves. So go check out wasparchery.com. I do have a discount code, NFC20, and that's going to save you 20%. Vortex Optics. It's almost summertime, right? And so it's time to pull out the binos. It's time to pull out the spotting scopes. It's time to, the velvet is up right now, right? It's just like the crops. The crops are up for the most part. The velvet is up right now, and we're getting real close. In 1 month from now, we're going to start seeing really good characteristics on some of these deer. And so it's going to be time to start taking those gravel travels, those dirt road trips, and we're going to be spotting and peeping and binocularing, looking through binoculars at these deer. And go check out Vortex Optics, vortexoptics.com. If you want a 10% discount, here's what you need to do. Go to eurooptic.com, EUROOPTIC.com, and enter the discount code 9, the number 9, the word finger, then the number 10. So 9finger10, and that's going to get you 10% off at eurooptic.com of all Vortex gear that they sell on that site. So take that into consideration, or you could just go to vortexoptics.com and check out everything that they have, including their brand new lineup of sunglasses. They are light on the face. They're very durable. My kids have already dropped them and drugged them lens first on the table, and there's not any damage to them. So shout out to Vortex for making some impact resistant sunglasses on top of an already awesome lineup of optics. So vortexoptics.com. Next, if you are the person who is allowed to run a feeder on your property, whether that's before, during, or after the hunting season, you got to go check out Feed Hubs. the Feed Hub by Moultrie Mobile. So you can go to MoultrieMobile.com, go check out the Feed Hub, and it is a device that attaches to almost every SpinCast feeder on the market, and it allows you to control feed times on demand. It allows you to document and view your feed levels so you can plan accordingly as to when you need to go put more feed in your hopper. And you pair that with a trail camera, and I'm telling you right now, you're going to be able to see a lot and know a lot about what's going on in the woods at your feeder location. So definitely go check out the Feed Hub at MoultrieMobile.com. Code Blue Sense. Before I forget, discount code at CodeBlueSense.com. NFC20 for 20% off. It's the next time I'm out in the woods, man, I'm taking multiple rope-a-dope systems with me. I'm going to adjust some tree stands. I honestly need to get a work day on the calendar, because if I don't have it on the calendar here pretty soon, I'm going to be screwed this summer, and I'm not going to be able to get out and do some of the work, dump the mineral that I need to dump, and get some of this stuff taken care of before October comes or September comes, because once October hits, October 1st, I have a hunt coming up, and I'm going to be going to South Dakota on the opener, non-resident opener, and then it starts, right? And then I don't want to go check out those properties, so I need to go get a lot of that mock scrape stuff taken care of on all of my properties. Now, on top of that, let's see here. On top of that, Code Blue has real synthetic deer urines. It has scent elimination products. Go check it out, CodeBlueSense.com. Don't forget the discount code. Huntworth. Huntworth, Huntworth, Huntworth. I mean, it's the gear that makes you feel the most comfortable in the woods. Whether you're hunting in the South or you're hunting in Saskatchewan or the North Pole, whatever, I'm pretty sure they have just about every scenario figured out in gear to fit in that scenario. So if you're hot and down south, they got something for you. The base layers also work awesome in the cold weather, and you pair that with an awesome mid layer or some of their heat boost technology, you're going to be good through the winter months as well. So whether you hunt in the hot heat, the temperate, or the extreme cold, Huntworth has the gear for you. So go check out huntworthgear.com. I'm sure they're going to be running some Father's Day discount codes, so keep an eye out for that. And then obviously, do me a favor, go to fullsneakgear.com. I'm telling you right now, I need you guys to go to fullsneakgear.com. Just check out the lineup of t-shirts that I have. Now, I like these t-shirts for one reason, because when I am walking around, I have a deer. So what's on my shirt matches what's in my head. So I love thinking and talking about deer hunting, and these are adaptations of my thoughts. So go check out fullsneakgear.com. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I've whored out. You know what today's episode is about. Huge shout out to Bob Polanik. Huge shout out to all of the partners of this podcast. Huge shout out to all of you for taking time out of your day. If you could go to Nine Finger Chronicles page on Spotify, on iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast, please go and check out or leave a 5-star review for the Nine Finger Chronicles or the Sportsman's Empire. I would really appreciate it. Let's get into today's episode with my man, Bob Polanik, and happy Friday. 3, 2, 1. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. My name's Dan Johnson. I'm your host. And today we are joined by returning guests, not only on the Nine Finger Chronicles, but a usual suspect over on the Hunting Gear podcast, Mr. Bob Polanik. Bob, what's up, dude?
Not too much, Dan. I hope your listeners enjoy me as a repeat guest, because been on a lot lately.
Yeah, absolutely. First question is, I can see the wall on the back down here in your basement, right? For those listening, the basement seems to be unfinished, okay? But you have all of your deer heads and some steelhead and some Euro mounts hanging on the wall. Does your wife allow you to hang that stuff upstairs?
Yeah, I've got 2 Euros upstairs. So yes and no. She has a firm stance against shoulder mounts upstairs. And anytime we have a debate, anytime we want, like, she's trying to bet me that I'm wrong, or I'm trying to bet that I'm right, the wager, if I wage that I'm right or that she's wrong, whatever, if I win the bet, my wager is always that a shoulder mount goes upstairs. And as soon as I bring that up, she won't bet me. She'll just let whatever argument is happening, and she'll just let it go. And they're not big arguments, right? It's just whatever.
It's a trump card, though. It's like, okay, well, I'll bet you. Yeah. You know what? You're definitely wrong, and I will bet you a shoulder mount upstairs that I'm right. Well, okay.
Yeah, so, and I've got a perfect spot for, especially my Iowa shoulder mount, and yeah, but no, I do have a Euro, like, bull elk, like, in our, like, peak of our cathedral ceiling. And then I've got another Euro whitetail that's on the wall. That kind of goes with, like, a collage wall that she made. So,
yeah,
take what you can get.
Yeah, that's right. I had, at one time, upstairs, before I finished this wall on my basement, that I put, like, old barn wood on, and then I put my deer heads on that. But at one point, I had 8 Euro mounts in our living room, all kind of spread above this stairway that we have that runs from the entrance of we live in a split foyer. So we have this entryway, and then you can go downstairs or upstairs. And right above that, it was all of my deer heads. And I thought it looked cool, but now that I have a man cave, it's a man cave slash video game room that me and the kids use the most. That's where all my heads are at, downstairs, over by, and then above the wrestling mat that we also have in our basement. So,
got it.
But yes, but I get one. I can have more if I wanted to, but for her space, the upstairs living room, she actually wants one shoulder mount in there. I get to pick which one it is. And because it goes like a mounted animal actually goes with the theme of our living room decor, whatever the hell that means.
Apparently only Euro mounts go with the theme of our living room decor. Yep, so there you go. I hear you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Cool, man.
Yep.
Let's see here. I want to get into this trail camera thing here in Iowa, because I think Iowa, I don't know really what they're doing. And you can search for the rules and regulations on this new rule change, and I still think there's some perceived gray area in especially the cell camera debate. And for those, you know, I was supposed to today... Yesterday or today, I was supposed to get a DNR officer on to talk about this specifically, but now he had to go to court for a case, and you know, like I don't know what kind of case, but he's involved in a case and he had to go to court for it, or I don't know what he was doing, but he was supposed to be on this week, but he had a schedule change, so he's not on there. I'm starting to see a lot of other people talk about it, but just a little background here, and that is, recently some news came out that there has been a rule change to where cell cameras cannot be used they cannot be used while actively hunting, and they cannot be used to aid in the take of wild game. Okay. And so that is not just public land, from what I'm hearing. I don't think trail cameras can be left overnight on public land, along with decoys and ground blinds. From my understanding, tree stands are still okay. But cell cams, or just any trail camera, cannot be left overnight on on public. And cell cams cannot be used to aid in, you know, because right now there's an old law that says in Iowa, you can't use electronics. And what they mean by that is walkie-talkies, radios, like when you're doing big deer drives and a deer runs up a finger, you can't radio ahead to a truck and have them pull out and get out so people can like cut off the deer, right? So there's always been that law. But trail cameras have never really been involved in that law along with cell phones. So I think what's happening is that they are adding cell phones into the mix. It's like a blanket electronic statement, right? And so cell cameras cannot aid in the take of wild game, which is, I'm not going to say it's 100% of what they're used for, but in Iowa, like, man, it's got to be pretty close to 100% of people who have cell cams on the ground are looking for deer to shoot or for wild game to shoot, right? I'm sure there's other people who watch, cattle tanks, or they watch gate entrances and mm-hmm. things like, and to try to fend off trespassing. So we got that going on. And I kind of want to talk about that today because I still feel there's some gray area and some other things that need to be talked about on this in order for us to have a clear black and white, you can do this and you cannot do this type of conversation.
It's right now it's all gray area. I mean, I'm on the Iowa DNR's website and pulled up the hunting regs. It's not updated. It's got hunting season. It's got deer hunting season dates for 2023 still.
Yep.
It does have turkey dates for 2024. And all it says it says use of CB mobile transmitter cell phone. That's the header. And then all it says is you cannot use a one or two way mobile radio transmitter to communicate the location or direction of game or fur bearing animals or to coordinate the movement of other hunters. So right away, this hasn't been updated in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is all opinion right now. I scoured the internet last night. I can't find any legal document of whatever was voted on approved, but also the header says cell phone, but it doesn't a two-way mobile radio transmitter. Well, right there, my cell phone is a cellular transmitter. It's not a radio transmitter.
Right.
So, right. I mean, court of law, I don't know how much that holds up. I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, I don't know. They need to do something. They need to do something quick. Also, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. The non-resident Iowa application deadline is Saturday.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that probably already applied, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they're planning on using cell cams. I saw there was a thing that you can't leave tree stands out overnight. And then along with, was it tree stands? I know it's trail cameras.
Tree stands can be left on public ground overnight. In Wisconsin, I don't think they can.
Okay.
I think legally you're supposed to take everything down. Now, do people do that? Probably not. How are you going to police all of those acres of public? Right. Like, okay, hey, you tell a DNR officer their job is to now go basically look for ladder stands that have been left up, or like there's no way to police certain laws like this. And, ground blinds, trail cameras, decoys right now are what is up for having to be removed from public land every day I got to make this clear. This is all hearsay at this point, because there is no document out right now that, at least none that we've found. And like I said, I was supposed to have this guy on to clarify all this today, but he had to bounce. So if it's out there, I'm not 100% sure where it's being kept or when it's going to be updated, but they better hurry up and figure some of this out before this hunting application season goes, because now you have non-residents who are not allowed to use cell cameras on whatever lease or whatever public land they think they're going to go to, I think that might change a couple things as well.
Yeah. And you, so you can't, it's not, it's all trail cameras, right? It's not just
cell. Well, trail cameras, regular trail cameras that you have to physically go check. From my understanding, there is no law change on those. You can, except you can't keep them overnight on public land. That, this is my interpretation of this so far. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's no, I mean, there's, like you said, there's not, right. You know how the army of DNR officers that would have to go scout all that public land.
And we have, I think the, my home county has one DNR officer for two whole counties.
Yeah. You know what this does? If this does go through, now anyone that does find a trail camera on public land, they're just going to feel very empowered to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, and that's, it's going to be theft of private property, although it's on public land.
Yep.
It's just going to encourage the person that would typically walk by.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to encourage them to go steal a camera, check a card, whatever it might
or
be.
Or at least take it down and throw it somewhere, right? Maybe not steal it, but that's, I mean, you might as well steal it. Here's where I start to get, so I currently have cell cams on a piece of property. It's 3 hours away. Two things that I have questions about. What is the time frame for a cell cam sending me a picture that I have a benefit of? I live 3.5 hours away from one of these farms. I get trail cameras of a big buck. I show up, I get in my car, I drive 3.5 hours, I take another 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get into a stand somehow, I'm ready to go. What's the time frame?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
How do they police that?
I think it's more so if you're physically hunting, the benefit of a cell cam is, oh, you get a picture on the other side of the farm, you can get down, jump in another tree. It kind of falls in line in my mind with if you fly over a piece of property,
mm-hmm.
you can't hunt that for 24 hours. If you fly a drone over a piece of property, you can't hunt that for 24 hours. I don't know why they don't just make that rule for cell cams, and then cell cam manufacturers, if they want to stay in business and keep selling a cell camera product, why don't they just make it where cell cameras can only send images after they've been taken after a 24-hour period? Yeah. Instead of that instant send or always uploading at midnight or whatever set time you have,
mm-hmm.
they can easily make it that all your photos get sent 24 hours later, no matter what.
Yeah.
And it would fall in line with that drone and airplane type of scouting that you have to put a 24-hour hold before you hunt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always kind of thought that. There's a lot of people that are – there's a lot of hunters that are kind of like pushing back on the use of cell cams and talking about how it takes away from woodsmanship and stuff like that, which no doubt it does. So they're against it. It's like, instead of having it on instant, just because they'll still use a regular trail camera. It's like, well, instead of doing that, just have it delay sending you a photo for a day. Because like all the cameras I use, Reveal, Exodus, there's a couple Bushnell. Like Bushnells, they can send once a week. Like there's all sorts of different technology. Like there's all sorts of different timing you can do with it. Where you could still use the product, you still use a cell camera, but I don't know. I think there might be too much gray area with that.
Because how is a trail camera manufacturer going to build in a setting for one particular state?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, Iowa has this rule. All they would do is a cost analysis.
Yeah.
And then they would say, okay, does this benefit us? Yes or no? Yes, they make the change. No, they don't make a change and still sell the product in Iowa. I don't know how many, like in Michigan, baiting is illegal, right?
Correct.
But in all of the Michigan hunting stores, big box stores, what do they sell? Mineral. They sell
bait. Oh, dude.
Bait, everything.
Come fall, all the gas stations are loaded up with beets and corn and carrots. And all you have to do is say you're feeding wildlife and not baiting deer. I mean, what is baiting deer? Aren't food plots baiting deer?
In a way.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, aren't mock scrapes baiting deer?
Yeah. I mean, it's it's an attractant. It's an attractant, yeah. I mean, so, you could go as deep as you want into this conversation, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is, now here's the predicament that I'm in. I got to figure something out now. And that is that I have recently signed a deal. I'm not going to say it yet. I'm just going to leave the name out of the conversation for right now. But I recently signed a deal, a advertising deal with a cell camera company. Okay. You can go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. I've already talked who they are, but I just don't want their name involved in this conversation at the moment.
Yep.
And so now I have to find out how to use cell cameras. If this law is in fact a law, and
bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
I have to, and I am not allowed to use transmitted images to my cell phone or computer to aid in deer. How am I going to use that and continue to sell the advertising? Well, for me, it's easy.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Because I'm all basically radio, right? So I can say that I am promoting my product to people who also live in states where this is not a law, right? I could get away with that. But also, I have to show trail camera pictures in some of these deals.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I'm small potatoes. You name a big hunting celebrity television show that has ground in Iowa, multiple farms and locations in Iowa, I guarantee you that they are using trail cameras, cellular trail cameras, to aid in the harvest of some of these deer, right?
I have heard some of these big celebrities talk about how they have over 100 cell cameras on their farms.
Yep.
Because they have so many acres.
Yep. Yeah. I heard that in prime deer hunting season, this is rumor mill, that $3,500 a month in cell camera fees for wireless connection.
Right.
$3,500 a month for that.
Yeah. I mean, we've done this to ourselves, right? Like, we got to look. The hunters just got to look in the mirror. We've taken the whole cell cam thing. I love cell cameras. Mm-hmm. I've got 10 cell cameras in Iowa right now. If this law goes through, I'm going to drive out there and take them down. I'll take them down later in the year when I get out there, but I don't know what to do about it. Again, nothing's even official yet. So
right.
Now here's one though. For a guy like me that is a non-resident, I applied to Iowa this year, and I am anticipating drawing. So back in March, I went out there and threw some cameras up.
Yep.
Now, if I don't draw, I'm probably going to leave my cell cameras up. Mm-hmm. That's not against the law because I'm not hunting that state this year. So I will be able to get a lot of data for the next year, you know, the next year and a half until I draw next year.
Yeah.
That doesn't really have anything to do with actively hunting. And I mean, taking a camera down on public land every single day. I mean, that's kind of,
yeah,
I don't know.
You got two schools here.
It's overreach. It's overreach by the Iowa DNR, in my opinion.
But. Yeah. But now we're getting into this conversation of technology actually being good enough to impact the natural resource. So let's just say, for example, I'll use fishing as an example. Right now they have this technology, which is basically a video camera type, video game type quality, fish finders, that forward facing sonar that will show you exactly what fish is in a snag or in, you know, like a wing dam or whatever. You point that thing there, it's going to show you, it's going to damn near tell you where exactly to cast. What you're going to see is that piece of technology is probably going to have a impact on the natural resource itself, right? Which I'm just going to use walleye for an example. Out in Mississippi River, you're going on these wing dams. You can see exactly where you need to go. Four casts, four fish, right? Go back the next day, four casts, four fish. And now the average of take is starting to go up. And now the natural resource is being depleted by this technology, which then would result in having to take this technology away, or you can't use it or ban it because it's increasing the take of fish, period. And so I can understand that if there's science to back it up. And I think what's happening is they're trying to find ways to slow it down so they can have more conversations and gather more data. Because for example, last year I had a non-shooter buck come through an area that I had a cell camera on. And I said, I'm going to see if this works. And this three-year-old came through this little pinch point. He was actually heading the opposite direction from me based off the picture. I got the buzz on my phone. I looked at it and I said, I'm going to test it out to see if it works. I rattled as loud as I could. Here comes this buck about 3 or 4 minutes later, 20 yards broadside right in front of me.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't shoot him because he was not a shooter. But now I'm talking to myself like, dude, if I shot that buck, a couple things. One, that trail camera was 100% the reason why I rattled.
Yep.
Number two, it felt icky to me.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's a personal thing. Like, it felt icky that I have the ability to do that. Right. So that's a perfect example. And I mean, it's all over social media. There's plenty of examples of people at their house, the phone goes off, they run down to a tree stand or blind, or just stand in the woods, wait for this deer to pop out, boom, shoot them. 10, 15 minutes go by from the time a picture was sent to the time the deer's dead. And yep. it is 100% because of that cell cam.
Yeah.
And so to me, that right there is affecting the, you know, elk hunting, like all that information on Go Hunt, success rates.
Yeah.
Success rates are going to go up because of this data. And so especially on big mature bucks. And I say that because once I started using regular trail cameras back in the day, I started to know what was out there. So the higher age class was in more of a threat because I wanted bigger, older deer.
Yeah,
because of that. And so now it's going to affect not only the success rate, but now it's going to, in certain cases, it may sex ratio, right? It may like age class. you know? And so I look at this and I say, I can't, like, part of me agrees with it, but at the same time, like you said, overreach. How do you tell someone on private land what they can and cannot do on their own ground?
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, as a taxpayer on my own property, if someone tells me that I can't do something on it, I pretty much tell them to F off, unless they want to pay the taxes.
Right. But I'll use an extreme there, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. Can you manufacture crystal meth on your property?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's against the law. Sure. I'm not saying that cell cams and crystal meth are the same things, but
when my app goes off, it's probably pretty close.
But if you're manufacturing crystal meth, you're probably also using a cell cam to survey the area getting at is they're both illegal on private ground. If something's illegal, just because you own private ground doesn't make it legal for you to do.
Right. So what do you think? So let's say they ban the use of cell cams, or you can't use them for the aid of taking deer, whatever it might be. What do you think that does initially to the age class of whitetail bucks in Iowa?
In Iowa?
Because you won't have, I mean, I would think my view would be, now I don't really know what's around. So instead of holding out for that 160 or that 170 or that other cool 155 that I've been getting photos of all fall, now I don't know about those deer really. And now I'm going to be maybe pulling the trigger on a 135 or a 140, a good buck, because mm-hmm. I don't know that there's these other three giants out there. Yeah. So what happens to the age class in Iowa?
Well, for me, I don't think it changes.
No.
And the reason is, I'm just going to talk about Southern Iowa, the most coveted places to hunt, you know, pretty much the entire length of Iowa south of Interstate 80. Now, there are more areas than just that in Iowa, but I'm going to speak just on the Mecca, where everyone who has money wants to buy land, who wants to lease, who wants to be outfitters, who wants to hunt public. Southern Iowa, south of Interstate 80, is the Mecca for the most part. Now, does it affect the age class? And I'm going to say not necessarily in that part, because people were still killing big bucks before cell cams, right?
Yep.
We were doing it with regular cell or with regular trail cameras. That just meant I had to get out of my truck, walk into the woods or wherever I had the regular trail camera, switch an SD card, go check it on a computer, and then find out. So I have a cell cam, or I have a camera right there. I could check it when I'm walking into the woods if I wanted to. You have to be there to do it. Mm-hmm. You can't do it remotely. And so now let's break that down even a little more. Let's say you're in a tree stand, or you're walking to a tree stand. You get buzz. You get a buzz on your phone. And now you use that buzz to go to a different tree stand. Okay? What's the difference between that and then walking up to a trail camera that's already in the woods, flipping through the pictures on the LCD screen, not having any deer that you want to shoot on that cell camera, so you go to a different tree stand, and then that's where the big buck pops out, right? Is there a difference in what the usage is on a cell cam versus a regular trail camera while you are on the property that you're hunting?
In that scenario, no, but that's not going to be your typical everyday scenario, right?
Right.
So it's a very unique situation. I've actually, that exactly what you said, getting a ding on your cell phone of a buck being in one part of the property versus another. I had that happen to me, and it made me switch stand locations in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have gone where I was originally going, I would have ended up getting a crack at, you know, the top buck on the farm.
Yeah.
But I ended up not even seeing them that day because I got derailed by a stupid cell cam. So,
yeah.
On the flip side, I've gotten a photo of a deer at noon, gone out that night to a stand. I had no intentions. It was middle of October. It was a 60 degree sunny day and no crazy weather pattern. Would have never hunted that day. Got a picture of them, jumped in my tree stand after work, shot them that night.
Yeah.
It's that buck right underneath that steel.
Yeah.
It kind of wasn't stoked that it all happened that way. Still had to make the shot and all that, but yeah. So
yeah,
I think it, but like it balanced itself out, right? In the long, I mean, one time it led me to killing a buck. Another time cell cam led me to making the wrong decision and not going where I should have just followed my woodsmanship and gone to the tree stand that made more sense.
Right.
So
let me ask you this then. There's guys out there who are like, as far as I'm concerned, all cell cameras can go bye-bye permanently, forever. Then you got other guys out there that say, hey, you know, how is the guy that is only able to hunt 2 weekends an entire year supposed to get a fair crack at that? I personally think that's a bullshit excuse because you should just be out there more. If you want to have more success, this isn't like a bread line where you're just going to get handed a loaf of bread because you don't have any food, right? This is something like hunting is an activity, and an activity means you have to be active in said activity. So for the guys out there, what were you doing before cell cameras were invented? Were you not hunting?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Like, is there a right answer? Like, oh, the government's taken away. Oh, first they take away this, then they're going to take away this. Well, are they really taking something away? Something has been introduced into the market before rules and regulations can be accurately written for it. Then it's banned. Is that really taking something away? You know what I mean? Like, what happens if all of a sudden, and this is a crazy example, Ford starts selling a car that has rocket power and can fly now. It can land on highways, it can fly in the air, and then it can land back on highways and go to your house or whatever. Wouldn't there have to be new rules and regulations made for that product?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably what it is. The deer industry, I mean, the hunting industry, DNR states on that are managing our natural resource, they move slow and technology moves fast.
Yep.
So they're playing catch up. Mm-hmm. This isn't like the last state to have this. It's not the first state either.
No.
Right. So, what, Arizona or Utah, one of those states, they banned trail cameras. Didn't Kansas?
Utah did. Kansas on public land, Kentucky on public land. I'm pretty sure Kentucky on public land. Cams, no cell cams on, I think Kansas is a no trail cameras on public.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right. And so I drew Kansas, and there was a little bit of me that, you know, a couple years ago before this ban took place was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out in the summertime. I'm going to set some trail cameras in a couple places, and then I'll go check them. But now I can't do that. Now I got to go back to the original old school way that I hunted when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old.
And I bet that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's like, do I still got it? Right.
You're right.
Do I still got it?
Well, then there's the excitement too, because you know, when it's peak rut and you've been getting photos of bucks every single day, multiple shooters on camera every day, and then you have that 2 or 3 day window where you don't, where it's kind of dead. It kind of takes a little bit of wind out of your sail. Takes a little bit of, whether you, maybe not everybody, but me, it's like, huh, what's going on? They locked down. What's it like? But it definitely like throws you off a little bit. Mm-hmm. You won't even have that different emotion. It's all just going to be unknown.
Right.
So you're not going to see a rut frenzy or chasing on your cell cams. It's just going to be, you're just going to have to go hunt and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're definitely, it's a bummer that you couldn't hook up with that DNR officer, he would definitely have to make sure he had all his facts lined up too, because that was going to be, I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of people that are going to tune into that trying to figure out what is going on.
Yeah.
With I was texting you last night trying to figure out what's going on.
I don't understand how they're going to police that. So on that,
and here's an example. I believe, and I don't know if Montana changed this, but I believe it was either Montana or Idaho. I can't remember the state. And this was an older rule, but I believe you couldn't have higher than 80% let off on your bow. Mm-hmm. So if you shot an elk or shot any animal with a bow that had 85% let off, technically that was illegal. I talked to a DNR officer out there about this, and they were like, yeah, we're never going to ding anyone on that unless we are looking for a reason to give someone a ticket and confiscate their animal because they're being a jackass. Mm-hmm. So does this give the DNR just a tool that if something shady's going on a piece of property or on public land or whatever, this gives them something to kind of fall back on and ding a hunter on?
I mean, I think they'll probably use it to whatever
level. Because like you said, it's not enforceable. There's got to be hundreds of thousands, maybe not hundreds, but there's got to be tens of thousands of trail cameras out on public land in the state of Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Right now there is.
Right.
And they're on private, quadrupled that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could go drive down any farm in southern Iowa during the rut that has a truck in the driveway, or even something bigger to where let's say a DNR officer knows where a hunting celebrity hunts, right? Some of the biggest names. And all they do is they don't need a warrant. They walk right out there. They look at their food plot and they see a trail camera, a cell cam over top of that food plot. And they go, that camera right there is helping you hunt deer on this farm. Ticket.
Right.
Ticket. And so then now we have these hunting celebrities who are now knowingly breaking the law because they have written contracts with trail camera companies where they're supposed to promote their products.
Yeah, it's going to, there's quite a, I didn't even think about that. That's quite a big ripple effect that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Think about all the trail camera images and like 10-second videos that end up in like YouTube videos and like hunting videos on Sportsman's channel and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's not going to be allowed anymore unless they want to bring, you know.
Yeah, for the most part, for the most part, the big names, they don't share trail camera pictures online until the animal's dead. Because they don't want neighbors to know what's on their properties. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why I stopped, you know, I do some times, but for the most part, I've kind of stopped posting trail camera pictures of this year's bucks because of that reason. You know, there's a lot of people out there who follow you, or you know, they know where you hunt and they follow you on social just to get an idea of what is on said property. And so I don't know, man, I'm really trying to figure out how they're going to do this.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athletic-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Because you say no trail cameras on no trail cameras or cell cams on private ground, people will not listen to that law.
No,
they will not. People will not listen to it. Period.
Also, you can't leave a trail camera up overnight. So what? The DNR are going to go out there and with headlamps and try to find, you know, how is that really going to be enforced?
I don't know. It'll be enforced by all the other ways that, I guess you would call it, illegal habits happen on public land. And that is someone rats or calls it in. I won't say rat it out, but hey man, I saw a guy with a cell cam. I saw a guy. There was one time I was scouting. It was in August. I was scouting a piece of public. I was following this real heavy trail. And I see a ladder stand. And I see a trail camera. And what direction is this trail camera facing? It's over a freaking food plot that somebody planted. So they came in off the river, probably with a rototiller. They tilled up an area on public ground, and then they broadcast clover, and they had a clover plot back there, right on a stand, right on a trail camera, and
on public land.
Wow. So that's pretty brazen, if you ask me. And and now, I mean, I know guys who every time they see a tree stand on public land, they'll call the DNR and give them direct directions of where it's at.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those guys do with that information, but there's something, I don't know. Like
it's all driven by the quest for and the desire for a big buck.
Giant antlers.
Yeah.
Why giant antlers, Bob? Why are we obsessed with giant antlers?
Because they're freaking cool. I don't know. I've gotten away from that. There was a time where like inches and size was like, that's what I was going after. And that was probably only like 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's like, I just enjoy hunting the rut and watching deer do their thing. And yeah, I do. I want to shoot a good buck. If I draw Iowa this year, I'm not saying, it's got to be 140 or bigger. I just want to shoot a good buck. Hopefully it's 4 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm. If it gets my ticker going and it ends up being a big 3 year old or something like that. I think the big antlers coincides with an older deer. Older deer present the bigger challenge. So you can always fall back on, well, I'm just trying to challenge myself more. It's like, yeah, you are. But like, if you have a 7 year old deer with a 120 inch rack and a 5 year old deer with a 180 inch rack, they're standing side by side. What one are you shooting? You're shooting the one with the big old rack. Mm-hmm. So they say like the challenge of trying to kill the oldest deer around, it's not always the most accurate thing. There is a part of it that like the visual awe of that big old rack, it definitely plays a factor into what us hunters are looking to kill. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I wish antlers and racks were more like boobs. Because big boobs are great, right? We can look at a big pair of boobs and we can go, oh, those boobs are awesome. But guess what? I get fired up when I see smaller boobs too. Right.
That is true. Yeah.
So, I mean, why can't we treat antlers like boobs? Right. We just enjoy all shapes and sizes of boobs.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Make that into a t-shirt. Yeah.
That's the next full sneak t-shirt right there. Yeah. So I don't know, man.
It's just all this cell cameras. This whole movement, it's all about catching up with that big old buck. Mm-hmm. And it's all driven. I mean, and we've all just done it to ourselves with media, with everything we consume, everything that is put out there, like big bucks sell, small ones don't.
Yeah.
That's just how we're wired as humans, man.
Yeah. And so
I don't know how you change that.
No.
Besides, I think guys getting older, further into their hunting career, whatever you want to call it, I think that settles down. Mm-hmm. Old timers, you know, dads wanting to just get their kids out, but you know, that next generation's coming, and they're going to know hunting with always having cell cams, always having trail cameras, and always having, like, you know, being able to see every single deer that's out there. Like, there's really not a lot of unknowns anymore.
No.
Maybe you can get on some big tracts of public land, or big farms that nobody hunts for some reason. There's some bucks that have never had their photo taken, but I don't think there's many big bulls, big deer, big bucks that haven't had their photo taken. In the United States.
Oh, 100%.
North America.
The only thing that I can really think of would be on a giant tract of tillable ground. Let's just say Nebraska, South Dakota, maybe even in Iowa, where they live in a tiny pocket so small in giant ag ground that everybody overlooks, and they're living in a fence row all year round. And maybe there's a cattle tank somewhere nearby where they can get water, or and there's just, it's just, for most people, they look at it and go, oh, it's just flat ground. There's no cover there. But for a deer, there could be a subtle change in terrain. That's the only place that I can see a giant whitetail slipping through the fingers of the hunters.
Yeah.
In places like that.
So what do you think the right move is here? I mean, banning cell cameras on public land, I'm not for that. I'll just put that out there right now, especially as a non-resident. If they try to do that in Michigan, I'd be annoyed as well. Because I think there's a lot you can learn. I mean, you don't necessarily need cell cameras, right?
You don't. No, you don't.
You could get away with just, I mean, the information you can get from trail cameras, though, just regular trail cameras is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does flip the script more in our favor than probably any other tool that I can think of out there.
Yeah. So. Other than digital imagery on, like, on Go Hunt or like that. But, you know, you don't even need that because, like, you can go to Google and find satellite imagery, right?
Right.
And so I'm just trying to think of the, like, we look at this direction that everything is going, and the direction is easier. Easy button. I started out off probably the hardest possible way a guy can hunt. And that's with shit equipment, no camo, and having to sit in a fence row to hunt, right? I didn't know shit about it. My parents didn't know shit about it. And they just put me out. And I had to learn everything the hard way, which is why I am as successful. I'm aiding my success to my experience. And so now what you have is, you have no experience. You have a lack of experience going into the woods, but you don't need that experience anymore because you have technology that is flattening the curve for you. You can find a trail or a deer print, and you can put a trail camera on that trail, and you can, oh, a big buck pops up. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be there tomorrow night. Big buck shows up, boom, dead. You didn't have to do any scouting for that. You didn't have to know what thermals were doing for the most part. Like, maybe some slight wind direction knowledge would be helpful. But outside of that, first time in, best time in, right?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten easier. It's made it all easier, for sure.
So what's the next, what's the next thing, though, right? Like, the next thing is, I mean, they already have live footage trail cameras. So you can... I'm sure, you know, you can turn a camera left or right. You can zoom in, you can zoom out. That's coming. If I had to guess, they already have something similar to that. Like more of a security camera type thing than an actual trail camera. Right.
Yeah.
What's to say that there's not a device that you put on a feeder, and as the deer start to come in, it triggers a motion sensor. You get a beep on your phone, and now you can control the shooting device from a feeder attachment, and you're able to shoot a deer from your phone.
Right.
What's stopping a crazy idea like that?
You're right. Right. And that's why all these states need to get ahead of all this technology, or just up to speed with it.
So that's a great comment you made. What does it mean to get caught up with it? Does it mean taking it away, or does it mean putting rules and regulations on it of how you can use it?
I think clearly defining rules and regulations.
That's the best. Yeah. That's a awesome first start.
Right.
Right. And so
I know you need someone to be the authority on this whole thing and set an example and come out with a crystal clear what you can and cannot do. It's just so hard to enforce. I mean, even using the technology of a cell phone, texting your hunting partner that's on the other side of the farm that a big buck's coming his way. Mm-hmm. If you read a lot of different rules and regs from different states, like that's not allowed. Like they always have that in there about two-way radios. Like that's old school. Not a lot of people use two-way radios anymore. Everyone's texting each other.
Right.
So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. A two-way radio or a text message. They both are communicating the same, instantly the same way.
Right.
Everything needs to be looked at. And again, they leave each state is always going to individually manage the resource. So they're going to each state's going to have its own rules.
Right.
There won't be one blanket rule that covers the whole 50 states.
Right. Let's do a hypothetical here. And let's say all trail cameras are banned across the entire country. Right. Huge uproar at first. Right. Industry, mm-hmm. like businesses would fail. People would get in trouble for using them. People would have to change how they hunt now. Okay. But then after a while of ripping that Band-Aid off, I feel like people would slowly get back into this. They would stop bitching about it because you have two options. You can bitch and quit, or you can just keep moving forward with whatever said rule and regulation that you agreed with or disagreed with.
Yep. As all things in life, you can either quit or rise to the challenge.
Yep. And so if you were to see things go one way or the other, where it was either all cell cams are banned or all cell cams are legal, what direction do you think we're heading towards with that specific conversation?
I honestly think that we are headed towards cell cams being banned.
Yeah.
Across the states. It might not be all of them. There might be a couple left over, but I mean, they're going to start dropping like dominoes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, next 2 to 3 years, it may be a good thing. I mean, I absolutely love cell cameras. I've got 10 of them sitting in Iowa across 1,000 acres, and I've got another 10 in Nebraska on 2 different farms. And when they start growing those fuzzy racks, which is right now, I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And it will be a big bummer to go away. It's something that my wife and I sit on the couch and we go through photos and we dream about November and getting out there and archery hunting. And yeah, sure, I'll miss that. But I think on the flip side, you might see a decrease in non-residents, like non-resident tag purchasing, right?
Really?
I would think if people can't scout as much, they might not be as successful. They can't monitor it from home, do all that. I mean, it's only been really the last, 10 years or so that like, there's been like the big out-of-state hunting push. Mm-hmm. Like social media and YouTube and all that made that super popular. Everyone realized that you don't need to hire an outfitter to go hunt elk, to go hunt bucks in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, wherever. So if you dial back some of the technology on it and the exposure to it, yeah, you could lead to a decrease in guys buying out-of-state hunting tags.
Because they want to know what's on the property they hunt.
Yeah, because you're spending $1,000 on a tag.
Yeah.
And you're doing that to kill a certain animal.
Yeah.
And you kind of want some sort of, you want to know what's out there, you know, before you go. Right. I'm never going to stop. You can take my cell cam. You can take all my cameras away right now. I will not stop going out of state and chasing it because I've spent enough time in the trees, even with cell cams, like they're around.
Yeah.
And cell cams only tell, gosh, not even half the story.
Yeah.
So
very limited, yeah. Just like a regular trail camera.
Yeah.
What's
your take on that? What do you think? What are we headed towards? Full ban or no?
Well,
you saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
I don't think you can fully ban something. I think what you'll... I'll say this. If I had to choose between the two, I would choose full ban. But I think what we're going to be going to is towards a baiting type scenario or a mineral station type scenario to where you can use cell cams throughout the entire year, but during the hunting season that you cannot.
Got it.
Right. So you can get a good inventory from the summer or postseason about what's around, what's there. If you're not on a property, you're not actively hunting it, they're going to be legal. But the second you step on that property, it's illegal. Right. So
yep.
I think we're headed towards that. But I think another thing, what we're headed towards is the rise of the resident. And what I mean by that is there are residents out there who are getting very frustrated with their DNR officer because everywhere they go, they're losing land to outfitting or leasing or, by non-residents. They're also maybe all their public spots have now been exposed in some way, shape, or form to non-residents. And what you're seeing here is residents are starting to bitch about how their hunting experience is going down because they're using the excuse of non-residents, right? Every piece of, didn't Montana do like, they cut non-resident tags, or was that Wyoming? One of those states cut non-resident tags because residents were complaining that there were so many non-residents hunting at their trailheads and things like that. Yeah. And so I think what you're going to see now is an acceptance from residents to pay higher tag prices. Yeah. And Oklahoma, they went from $300 for 2 buck tags and 3 doe tags to $700 over the counter for that this year, I believe it was. Oh. And so now you have over double the cost of a non-resident tag book or whatever they sell. Iowa has gone up. Illinois has gone up. You know, all of these non-resident tags are going to continue to go up. And I think what's going to happen is that's going to force non-residents to not come to the state, but the state itself, it needs that revenue from the non-resident tags because states like, I believe Wyoming, like the non-resident revenue for hunting is just eclipses resident, you know,
yeah.
Residents.
Didn't Wyoming just like double the price of their elk tags?
I think so. I think it's like, they're a lot now.
Like almost $2,000.
I don't know about that. I thought it was like 1500, 1250. Yeah, maybe regardless. You're, maybe you're right. Regardless, yeah. It's a lot of money. And so, and I think what's going to happen is the residents that hunt the state are going to say, you know what? In order to make my hunting experience better, AKA less non-resident hunters, I am willing to pay X number of dollars more to lift that revenue back up.
Yeah.
If in that way, shape or form. And so, I would say, like, what do you pay right now for a resident tag in Michigan?
$20 for a buck tag. You can get two of them. So it's $40.
Okay. So you pay $40 for two buck tags as a resident. And then what is your, do you have like a hunting fishing combo? Or do you have a separate hunting license, separate fishing license?
Separate. Yeah, I think fishing's like $28 or $32. I can't remember.
Yeah. So in Iowa, we have a combo tag. Or it's a combo hunting license, fishing license. So I get that. I think that's like, I want to say that's $28. Got right? It. And then now my buck tag in Iowa is $28.50 or something like that. So I get my $28.50 and then I get $28.50 for my buck tag. And then I get a $28.50 for my doe tag. And every doe tag after that is $12 after that. And so I look at that and I'm like, what I'm about to say is my personal opinion. I would pay, because this is what I do, man, I would pay $50. For a buck tag, right? I'd pay a lot because it's what I do. Now, other people will probably agree with me. I know on some of the forums that I've read, I hear people say like, they've already raised it to $28.50. Like, this is ridiculous that I have to pay this much money to hunt a deer. Well, you look at how rare it's becoming to find ground, especially in Iowa. You have two options. You can knock on doors until you are blue in the face and you still won't gain access in Iowa, in certain parts of Iowa. So then you have to go to private or public.
Yep.
You know, and you talk to anybody in the state of Iowa. Maybe it's not as bad as Michigan or Pennsylvania or New York, but it is still pressured. Ground. It is still pressured hunting.
Oh, yeah.
On public ground.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
And so,
for sure.
I don't know. I think the residents of every state are going to end up starting to voice their opinions much more, as you should. If you're paying taxes in that state, you have a voice, right?
But if you do that, with raising the price of non-resident tags, two things are going to happen. One, it's become so popular, there's such a demand for it, people will still pay that price. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's going to happen is it's then going to become more of like out-of-state hunting will become like solely a rich man's sport.
Yeah.
It's already really going that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that, I truly believe within a decade – non-resident elk tags are going to be average price $2,000-$2,500. People are going to pay it. It will not surprise me the day that a non-resident Iowa tag is $1,000. It's already like $660 or something like that.
Yep.
And you can't even draw it without a couple preference points that are $60 a piece. So really, you're already looking at $800 for a non-resident Iowa buck tag.
Yep. And more if you hunt one of the more coveted units.
Oh, yeah. Zone 4, 5, 6. Yeah, you need like 4, 5, 6 points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Wyoming elk. I mean, gosh, you need, I guess I just saw general tags. You needed like 5 points to draw a general unit tag. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on with Kansas, but it's all the 5 years ago of being more tags than out of state hunters, there were more tags available than what out of state hunters were buying, stuff like that. That's all gone. Like out of state hunting it's going to get real, real tough. really, really quick. It already has. Mm-hmm. It's just going to get worse.
And that's, so. I'm okay with that as long as the resource can handle it and it's managed properly by the state. And I think what was happening was states like Nebraska, is it a draw now?
They're putting more tags into the draw. So I don't know. Nebraska's, I don't know. They don't have a lot of tags. I know that much.
Yeah. But in order to get your Nebraska tag, did you have to apply or enter into an application or did you go over the counter?
I went over the counter.
Okay. So you might want to look into that because I think Nebraska changed this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're smiling because you want me to shut up, but everybody already knows. So
I know.
And that's the same. That's the same thing with South Dakota too. Like South Dakota, yep. State that I hunt, they went to an automatic. You're guaranteed a tag if you apply. Now they cut them back, and I've been lucky to apply to draw the last 2 years. But there's going to be a day where I'm not going to draw a South Dakota tag.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yep. Let me ask you one more question. What would the reaction be if all of a sudden the DNR in Michigan said only one buck in the state of Michigan?
I would have no problem with it. But it's really not having two buck tags isn't really the problem in our state. It only 4% of hunters fill that second buck tag.
Okay.
So yeah, it's more of a money thing. That's why they have two buck tags is because the revenue it generates, which why I would love it if they went to one buck tag and made it $40, right? Easy. I would have no problem with it. I think people would get a lot more choosy with what they're shooting. I live in the northwest kind of corner of the lower peninsula where it's under antler point restriction. Mm-hmm. So there's 12 counties all within each other, and it has to be three on a side. I would love it if they made it four on a side. I would love it even further if there was some easier way to identify the age of a buck, and that's what we could do, but that's just not possible.
It's not possible, no.
But yeah, Michigan, do we have so many deer here and so much habitat, but we also have so much pressure and so many hunters that like the deer here are just on high alert all the time. Yeah. And it's so hard to even get bucks to 3 years old, let alone four or five. And then, you know, obviously catching up with them is even harder, but yeah, it's a challenging state to hunt. And but yeah, there, if we managed it differently, I do believe we could start really improving our age class here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and that's so 4% of the second bucks are tagged, which tells you that nobody is, like, from that statistic, nobody's really chasing a second buck.
Or having luck with it. I don't know the numbers of, because you don't have to buy both buck tags. You can just buy one, mm-hmm. or you can buy your combo tag. Your combo gets you the two buck tags.
Is there a discount code? Is there a discount with that?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think they're both $20. But yeah, that, and those are not recent numbers. I think that was like back in like 2020, 2021 that I heard that those type of numbers. But yeah, it's still, I mean, Michigan's very tradition rich. I think this saying, if it's brown, it's down, kind of originated here. So yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
No one's worried about a lot of hunters. You know, APR is barely passed. A lot of people are like, I don't care how, you can't eat the horns, mm-hmm. you know, another big one. So it's just not important. I think it's gaining traction in the state of Michigan, but yeah, we're still nowhere near having the hunting quality that like even Ohio, just to the south of us. I mean, southern Michigan is better. I'm in northern Michigan, and it's just harder. I mean, winter's longer, it comes earlier, and it stays a couple weeks longer. We don't have as much nutrition in the soil up here, very acidic. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of we have millions of acres of public land up here, but it's not logged very well. Iowa, I know a lot of public land, farmers can grow crops on it, so that's always awesome. Mm-hmm. We don't have any of that up here. There's some like quality of your management work that goes on where some food plots get planted on public land, but that's, if you know where those areas are, they just get pounded by mm-hmm. other hunters. So yeah, I would have no problem with it. I don't ever kill a buck in Michigan. So yeah. I mean, I don't really hunt here during the rut anymore. So that kind of takes away from my success, but I've killed a couple of decent ones here, but it's been a few years. So,
you know, with all these rules and regulations, cell cams, crossbows, baiting, things like the number of buck tags, like, do you think there is a way to implement a strategy on a nationwide level, saying that all states have to follow these specific guidelines that would help manage specific wildlife, and take rules, I guess you would say?
No, I don't think you want to do that, because each, you know, no, I think you want to leave it up to the state. I mean, even in the state of Michigan, northern Michigan is so different than southern Michigan as far as hunting quality goes.
Right.
Like the two of those shouldn't even be managed the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't want to see that state by state. I really believe that they need to leave it up to the individual state to manage the resource. Mm-hmm. So,
but do you feel like rules and regulations for certain states are better than other states?
Oh yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So what I'm getting at is, I'll just use Iowa, for example. I feel, for the most part, Iowa does a really good job on how they manage their harvest. Okay, so yeah. We have quotas per county. Do you think that Iowa, if I took Iowa's rules and regulations and just put them in Michigan, does Michigan become better?
I believe so. Okay. I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
If I took Iowa's rules and regulations and took them down to Florida for deer hunting, do you think Florida becomes better?
No, because I don't know much about Florida, but I don't think they've got a really big deer herd. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's right. A tough one for me to answer on.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, all these questions, man, hypothetical. So, and I can't wait to get this guy on who's going to clarify all this for me once he's done with his court case. But yeah, man, lots more to come. I think what you're going to see, maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. I think what we're going to start seeing is a lot of rule changes, a lot of rule changes that are, okay, well, Kansas and Iowa did it, well, we're going to do it too, type of deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, well, if these guys are doing it and the residents are bitching about it, well, here's what we're going to do about it. Go ahead. I was done.
Kansas and Iowa are probably the best whitetail states, right?
Right.
So are they setting precedent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, are they the leaders? I will tell you this, whatever changes are coming on the cell cam front, trail cam front, whatever for Iowa, the deer definitely are winning.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's good for them.
Yeah.
So hunting in Iowa is going to continue to be very good. Mm-hmm. This is only going to continue to help Iowa.
The legacy of Iowa or Kansas.
Exactly.
Or, yep. I mean, you think about it. Let's talk about these states a second who are doing this. Kentucky. Out of all of the states that touch Kentucky, other than maybe Ohio, Kentucky trumps Tennessee. Kentucky trumps all the states to the east of it, to the, you know, Illinois. It borders Illinois, other than Illinois, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Does it touch Indiana? I don't know. It's close enough to it, though, right?
I think maybe it does. And so what we got here is like Iowa, you know, other than Illinois, certain parts of Illinois, Iowa's better than all of the other states that it touches. Better than Minnesota. It's better than Wisconsin. It's better than Missouri.
Yep.
Kansas is definitely better than Nebraska. It's better than Colorado. Oh, yeah. It's better than Missouri.
Kansas way better than Nebraska.
I mean, I don't know about Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a different creature, man. That now you're starting to get into Texas territory where there's just a lot of feeders, which is Kansas too. But, you know, Kansas is, would, most people would say hunting in Kansas is better than Oklahoma, depending on what you're going for. So
Yeah. All
of these destination admired states are changing the rules and regulations, and I feel like more states are going to probably be doing that as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tip of the iceberg. Excellent. And yeah, it is what it is. I'll still have a blaster in the rut in those states as long as I can get a tag and get in a tree.
Yep. I've said this before, man. You know, I'm an advocate for trail cameras because I use them. They've changed the way that I hunted back in the day when I got my first trail cameras and I was able to see what was in the woods. It changed how I hunt. But if there was a ban that would come through, and I'm not just saying cell cams, let's just say trail cameras in general are no longer allowed in the woods, I don't think I'd be 100% bothered by it because I would still go out and hunt deer.
Yeah, and you know what farms have good deer on them. It's we've got all the, as long as you, I mean, especially if you can keep all your historical data, you're gonna be all right.
Right.
So
right.
We also started hunting before like trail cameras, right?
Right.
Kind of like we went to, you know, we went to school and everything before cell phones, mm-hmm. drove before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're kind of. So yeah, if it goes away, so be it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we've gone for a while now. So, Bob, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on once again and chat with me. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Dan.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.